This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Glad to hear your voice.
Yeah,
it's been a minute. Yeah, you've been on tour.
I was on the Christmas tour.
Okay, how long did that last?
The Christmas tour has been going on. I was on it from the 29th up until the 20th, and I got off of it.
And what Christmas numbers did you give them?
I didn't. I was just hosting, so I didn't have to do a number.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't particularly like theme shows or Christmas shows. Do you?
I mean, I'm usually not the one that has every number ready for every theme show or every costume. But Christmas, if you've been doing drag for 35 years and you don't have a Christmas number in you,
I know.
And some red dress, you got to figure something out. I'm doing a Christmas show, so Lord knows what that means. I mean, Omicron is raging out of control. But you know, I mean, I don't want to be unnecessarily optimistic. But I've watched a few doctors go over the data in South Africa, and there are indications, even though it's too early to know everything, that Omicron is mild, and if you are vaccinated, can be as mild as a cold or a headache even. So and there was also some statistics from down there that said that, down in South Africa, that said that it was really affecting the up to 40 years old group, and I'm past that group. So the other Delta variants were affecting us old folks. So if this one is affecting people who are, you know, in their 40s and younger, you know, maybe I'm saved by the bell on that one. But of course, we don't want anyone to get COVID. But
yeah, I got my booster yesterday and the flu shot. I did both, and like my head right now is fucking is pounding. So listening to you is just a
Would you like me to speak in my less annoying, high-pitched register to soothe your aching head? Now, listen, did they tell you to get the booster and the flu shot at the same time?
No, I just went to get both because I was like, two birds, one stone, just get it done. And she's like, you sure you want to do that? I was like, yeah. She was like, that's going to be a lot to do. I was like, girl, just hit me with it.
Okay, well, she warned you, huh?
She did. She really did that. And I was like, I'll be fine. And now my head. But that's the only thing I really have is a headache, which I'm lucky for. But it's a very bad headache.
Well, you know, you're in luck because this is the week of our Savior's birth. And I am so brimming with holiday festivities that I will bring you out of your shell, your doldrums, and your headache. And I will not omit any piercing sounds like this.
You were just muted, so I have no idea what you just said.
Well, tell me about the tour. Let's. Who was getting along with who?
Everyone was getting along. Honestly, one of the standouts of the tour was Jan. She sang "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas" at the end. She was the last number in the show, and was really good. You can probably look it up online and on her Instagram and stuff. She sounds so good. It was like a really show-stopping performance. She sounds you would love it because I know you like good singers. She was really
good. She could sing. She could definitely sing.
Yeah. Have you ever done the Mary and Peter Christmas show?
I did. I did it like 2 years ago. Okay. I mean, maybe it was the last one that they had, but yeah, I had a blast. Well, I mean, it's not easy.
They didn't ask you back, so.
Yikes. They did ask me back, Mama.
No, that's not true.
Yes, they did. They asked me back this year. Mm, yes, they did. I've done that tour twice.
I would like to see it.
But it was, and of course, Shea Coulee has that incredible Grinch illusion, which,
well, you know, and she does that at the beginning of the show, and then she changes her makeup and does a regular paint. I said, girl, that is crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is outrageous. I mean, the wig and the costume and everything. And so you were hosting with Trinity?
Yeah, Trinity and I were hosting together. And which was interesting because we never hosted anything together. So it's like, you know how it is. I try to see like what your chemistry is hosting. So it took a few shows to get it together, but it was good.
Her chemistry is meth, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and anal. She loves teaching kids how to say anal.
I'm just doing my Christmas show, Oh Come All Ye Hateful.
You added shows I saw because you were selling out. That's good.
We did. And it's sick. It's twisted, demented. But we got two shows tomorrow night, two shows Thursday, and some shows are closing down because of Omicron. But I just decided, look, I can't postpone this. Nobody wants to hear about Christmas whenever this Omicron surge is over.
Right.
So, and this ticketing service doesn't permit refunds. So I said, honey, I'll do the shows with the mask on. I'll DJ with the mask on.
Are you really? Are you going to do the whole show with the mask on?
Well, I'm going to experiment with it. I mean, you know, it's sold out. It's not a huge place. It's like 100 people. But yeah, I mean, look, the safest thing for any of us to do right now is to stay home. But my bills don't pay themselves. And, you know, when you work freelance, like you've got a show that's been publicized, it's not like you can't just like take a day off like your normal job. Right. Tickets have been bought. And then we added another show on the 28th. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, two more shows on the 28th. So we'll see how it goes. And, you know, but the city hasn't. Some Broadway shows have started shutting down. But because they were getting their cast was getting COVID. And
yeah, I saw that.
So I'm a one person show. So, you know. I thought about getting a test before the show tomorrow, but I don't have any symptoms. I did have one sniffle yesterday. I was like, oh, I better get tested before I turn this into. But you know, these shows, you know, like the big Broadway shows, they don't want to be sued if they turn out to be a super spreader event. Mm-hmm. But you know, Monet, I've been known as a super spreader event, one man super spreader
since
one
the woman, 80s. Whatever. You've been doing your work.
Hello, patient zero.
I know. You've been doing it for a long time now.
I just decided to go on with the show. The show must go on.
I wish I was there. I would definitely come see it. But, you know.
Well, it's the same crazy shit that I do. No, it's not. Actually, I got some new crazy shit. We might play a little snippet to get everyone in the holiday mood. Yes. Season's greetings from Lady Bunny. Joy to the world, the gays all scream. cause Britney Spears is free. Let every hand cover each ear, cause that dumb bitch can't sing, cause that dumb bitch can't sing, cause that dumb bitch cannot sing.
Shall we talk about the headlines?
Yes.
Headliners. Mattymorphosis. If y'all don't know, Mattymorphosis is one of the newest contestants on season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race. And Mattymorphosis identifies as a cis straight man. So that has gotten a lot of people upset. And it's with Tizzy about having a cis straight man on Drag Race because, like, this is a queer space. How dare you? RuPaul, we can't believe you do this. What say you, Lady Bunny?
Well, you know, I don't have an opinion on whether Maddie should be on Drag Race or not. I do think it's kind of funny that some of the same people that were saying, oh, Rue is not inclusive enough, are now saying they're
He's too inclusive.
I know. That's what, so
it's so crazy. That's my biggest thing. I'm like, you can't say drag is for everybody until it's inconvenient for you. You guys,
that's
everyone,
exactly right.
You can't say that. Like, if drag is for everyone, then it's for everyone. Like, you can't pick and choose who it's for. And now, essentially, they're doing what they claim RuPaul was doing a few years ago, whatever.
I mean, I don't know that it's the exact same people, but you mentioned something about queer safe spaces. Mm-hmm. First of all, a TV show ain't nobody's safe space. I mean, that's right. Not on Logo anymore. It's on VH1. It's mm-hmm. not a queer. And you know, I always giggle at that because I come from the time when I got paid to walk into these huge clubs like Tunnel and Palladium and Limelight to walk around
paid.
And be a host.
Bitch, please. You did it for free. You got paid, girl.
Well, I did it for drink tickets, but that I could sell them for drugs. Okay. And so it was kind of more like a barter payment. No, but that's what Amanda Lepore, that's what Kevin Avion, that's what we all did. Mm-hmm. You know, we ran around and were just paid to, like, give some life to the party. Imagine that. And so over the years, people have stopped clubbing. That's why they don't have these big clubs anymore. Most of the clubs are now bars. Mm-hmm. And this is why some of the Drag Race events, like the Christmas tour that you were on, are performing in large theaters because they don't have those big clubs anymore because we gave up on our own gay safe spaces. We also gave up on them because of Grindr. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is why we mainly have bars, and it's a totally different vibe because it's kind of like stop by this bar on your way home from work. May be fun and people are welcome to enjoy it, but it is not the same vibe as, ooh, let's get dressed up to go out to a Suzanne Barge party and then hit three or four other parties that same night. I mean, you don't work a look to go to the bar after work. You come in your work clothes. So it's like I mean, I think that we've already, and obviously some people who primarily used gay safe spaces, clubs, whatever you want to call it, as a hookup place, that now they don't have to pay cover charge because of Grindr. I don't begrudge them, but that did stop a lot of people from going to clubs and cause gay safe spaces to close. Lesbian clubs, honey, they're
they don't have any. There are 15 in America. Right. Before the pandemic, there were 15 lesbian bars in the whole of America. 15.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to look what drag has traditionally been, mm-hmm. it's a man wearing women's clothing or a woman wearing men's clothing. Mm-hmm. Now, for some who are not strict about definitions, this has been expanded to mm-hmm. include bio queens who are women who get in drag, but technically they're not wearing the clothing of the opposite sex. Right. They're wearing the clothing of their sex. So it's subject to interpretation, whatever people want to do. But, you know, I wrote something on Instagram that got some attention. And I basically said, you know, I don't care who's cast on Drag Race. What I do think is odd is how Drag Race casting is elevated to be the pinnacle of a gay rights battle. Many of those clamoring for gay safe spaces and protecting the LGBT community from a straight drag queen on a reality show seem to forget that a bill languishes in the Senate, which affects our actual safe spaces, jobs, and homes free from discrimination. So it's part of this, you know, I mean, if you heard more about Manny Morphosis than the Equality Act, something's wrong with our gay media. Something's right. wrong with, you know, and do you remember when we had the activist, but he told us about the Equality Act. No one is really talking about this, that, right. that, you know, it should. So I just think if people are thinking, ooh, I have to rescue, Drag Race and the gay community from a straight man.
Yeah.
Then why aren't you thinking about these major legislative victories right. that we don't have?
Like, you should be tweeting and you should be Facebooking, you should be Instagramming about that. But the fact that your whole world of quote-unquote activism revolves around keeping a cishet man from Drag Race, like, then that's a problem. I mean, yes, you can do two things at once. You can be upset about that and also the equality bill, but they don't even know that the equality bill is a thing. So if you want right. to really affect for real change, think about that instead of being mad that Matty Morphosis is on Drag Race. Girl.
Andy Hum was the mm-hmm. activist and reporter who told us about the Equality Act. And I'm ashamed to say that I did not know about it. But what I said in my post is that look at the people who are so eager to protect us from cis straight men or whatever. So I hate that expression. And see how many posts they have about the Equality Act.
Right.
You know, there's another thing that like I say, I'm not a Drag Race watcher. I guess he should be judged on the drag that he does. My only issue with him is that he looks like angina with a peanut allergy. Wah, 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 wah. but you know, there's another part of the community that sees and this is outside the realm of Drag Race, but there's a part of the woke community that sees cis het men or straight men as bad. Mm-hmm. I don't see them as bad. I see them as, I mean, now if you want to talk about marginalized people, with trans women of color being the most marginalized, then clearly cishet men, especially if they're white, have more privilege
right.
than those people. But I don't think that you're a bad person if you have privilege, especially if you can acknowledge your privilege, if you're willing to lend your support to causes like Black Lives Matter. If you are willing to have an open mind, because when we blast people for just being what they are, isn't that like some cishet men blasting us for being what we are, gay yeah. or drag? Or yeah, I want to give people a chance to be wrong. I shared a ride home from Atlantic City with a professor who was straight. You know, he was really nice.
Why were you
nice
with that? Wait, what?
It was a gay event in Atlantic City this summer for their pride. And
did you suck him off?
No. Oh, he was kind of, he was sexy. He was sexy in his confidence, but he wasn't confident to discuss, like he was afraid. He was walking on eggshells because he didn't exactly know how to to discuss what a drag, or they might get it, he might get it mixed up with a trans. So he had nothing but good feelings about it, but he felt like he had to walk on eggshells. And I think we need to give people the space to, especially nice people like him who want to get it right, to get it wrong maybe, and not have them be the ultimate transphobe. You know? So at any rate, I think I whenever we talk about stuff like this, that's like clearly the result of PR in my mind. So we see an issue, it's polarizing, and we make a decision. I don't think straight men should be on the show. I don't think trans women should be able to. I don't think Gottmik, who was a trans man who then did drag as a woman, or I don't think that this straight woman should be on the show. And you know what I think the effect of this is? I mean, to me, it's smart PR for World of Wonder.
Because I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't think that they cast Metamorphosis thinking it'll be this backlash. I think that when they casted him, they thought it would be showing how more inclusionary the show is, like how they're trying to include more people. I don't think they thought it would be this such a negative thing, because I was gagged that people were so upset about it. I didn't think that people would react this way.
But don't you think that now the effect is that, well, people, it's a hit show, people will tune into it no matter what. But now don't you think they'll be tuning in? They have an extra reason to tune in to say, ooh, do I hate this Maddie, who some say that I'm supposed to hate, who some say isn't supposed to be there? I mean, you know, I don't think that World of Wonder uncovered Sherry Pie's catfishing thing. You know, but it does serve to make people think, oh, there's something different about the show. Oh, there's something, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, when you see it covered that much in the press, and you don't, and this same gay media doesn't cover the Equality Act, I got to think something's up.
But I don't think that's the show. I think that's how vapid that we are as consumers of reality TV. It's like we're so... most people are more concerned with a reality TV show than actual legislation in parliament. Like people, like this is what their world revolves around is RuPaul's Drag Race and the 14 seasons a year. Like they're not thinking about. I mean, when it's big news like the Equality Act, like when Black Lives Matter is mainstream and all that stuff, then people are like, oh yeah, trans, and this is the line they use every time. Trans women are, black trans women are killed. I mean, trans women of color are killed disproportionately. Etc. Like they all know that tagline, and that's like the focus. But when like we're saying, like when the Equality Act is something, and even you and I didn't really know that much about it.
No, we didn't.
When that is the thing that people should be focusing on, they don't even realize because they're just obsessed with Drag Race, and the smallest amount of virtue signaling that I'm doing the right thing because I don't think a straight white man should be on Drag Race. Look at me. I think it's a lot of virtue signaling in there.
Monet, you sound like me. I think that booster did you a world of good. No, but you know what? I agree with you because I just don't get off on the virtue signaling. When if people aren't familiar with that term, you say certain things on social media to make it look like you're down with the causes of the moment when there's actual causes like the Equality Act. You know what? If somebody from the political world said they wanted to, you know, reach out to me or you, I would gladly, and I'm sure that you would, once you recover, use my name to make videos about this, to show what is at stake, to urge lawmakers to push this. Because I'm going to tell you this, if a trans woman of any color is getting kicked out of her home or his home, trans person, that is a lot more important than who's cast on Drag Race to them. If they cannot get a job, gay, lesbian, bi, or whatever, because of the way they choose to look, non-binary, whatever, then you know, that's going to have a lot more impact than whether or not Maddie Morphosis should be on there, is in top three.
They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck that Maddie Morphosis is on Drag Race. They want healthcare. They want good housing. they want to not be fired from their job, like you're saying, because of how they choose to look. So that's what people really care about. You think they don't give a fuck about metamorphosis? Who cares about metamorphosis to them? Bitch, they want to live just like you and me. They want the same access and the same rights to life like everyone else has. Not if metamorphosis is on Drag Race.
That's right. Now listen, I heard some rumors that Maddie was not actually straight.
I mean, that's what everyone said. That's what people say. I mean, who's to say if he is or not? Who's to say next year Maddie won't be sucking dicks like the rest of us? Who knows? And again, that goes to this whole
generation. I believe you just assumed that I suck dicks, Monet.
Well, what then?
Is that a holiday spirit?
Sorry, you don't suck them, you eat them.
Chew them off and spit them
But out. Then again, that goes to the whole what, which kind of rolls into us is what this generation is about, right? Sexuality is a spectrum. Like, you can like pussy today and you can like dicks tomorrow. And so, like, it's all lending itself to what this generation preaches about. But because it's a cis white dude, they're like, well, no, for everyone else but him. Like, everyone is about free love and let your sexuality evolve and change. It's on an infinite loop. You can do whatever today and then do this tomorrow. But now that it's this dude on Drag Race, they're like, no, but it can't be him. It's very puzzling to me.
Yeah, you know, I spoke with Peppermint about this years ago, mm-hmm. and we were just talking about the trans movement in general, and she agreed with me that we should not be. You can support trans people and not lash out at cis people, because they're like 95% of people, and any movement that wants to win, sure, you can be aware and help them to be aware of what their privileges are in being cis, in being hetero. But don't, they're not automatically a bad person because they're cis and het, you know? Yeah. She agreed with me.
Peppermint, she has some knowledge sometimes. Most of the time she has no idea what the fuck she's talking about, but sometimes she knows what she's saying.
Exactly, when she agrees with me. We have Peppermint. And Peppermint was on the tour before you, right?
Mm-hmm. She was hosting for me because I couldn't do the beginning half of the tour because of some filming obligations.
Oh, sounds exciting.
Yeah, Mighty Morphosis and I were producing our OnlyFans together.
Oh, so you, because Maddie is straight, you had a sex change so that you could be with him?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to spawn a new reality show?
Yeah, the whole show is about Maddie Morphosis taking his cishet white dick and fucking me in my lovely brown little booty hole pussy.
Little?
Mm-hmm. It's very
petite. We have a bad connection.
It's very petite and tight. And Maddie Morphosis just fucks me raw.
Wait. I think we got to say this. There was some tweet that I found hilarious that said, is Maddie going to lip sync to Nickelback?
Or fucking Creed. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. Very clever. I thought that was very clever. But I don't know that reality shows should be the basis of our activism. And sometimes lashing out at entertainment stuff can be a low-hanging fruit.
Oh yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah.
Because we think, you know, I'm into this show. I want to like what this show is doing, the direction that it's going on. But you know what? It is a show. It's not real life.
Yeah, it's a fucking reality show who is cast by casting directors. And, you know, that's kind of brings me to, like, sometimes, you know, I've obviously done Drag Race twice, and a lot of my friends are from the show. And some girls, when they get the call to be on the TV, they're like, oh, this is my chance to go on the show. I'm going to be friends with RuPaul. We're going to exchange numbers. And now I'm on the inner circle of celebrity. Like, RuPaul's going to be my friend. I'm like, bitch, RuPaul, you did not get cast on the show to be RuPaul's friend. You got cast on the show to make TV. RuPaul does not owe you a friendship. RuPaul does not owe you a mentorship. When you get cast on the show, what RuPaul does owe you is a trip to California with your 5 suitcases and camera time. That's what you get. You don't get anything else but beyond that. So I think people need to treat drag as like what it is. It's a reality television show. It is not anything but that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's the other thing? I mean,
so we've trashed Metamorphosis, Drag Race Metamorphosis, bitch. Sorry, it's changing every second. It's metamorphosizing.
Bunny, you call him. Bunny's like doing like Maddie Morphosis, Maddie Mentorship, Maddie the Musical. You just saying all kinds of shit.
I am, yeah. Well, you know what? People are going to tune in. When does the season start?
January 7th.
Okay.
Are you going to watch the season, Bunny?
I am looking. You know, I thought I had a light January. But I was looking at, I don't have a TV, so I was going to look to hook it up and get all that stuff and watch. But then I got a gig every weekend in January, which is not so common because January is kind of a dry month when people have shot their wad since Halloween to Christmas to New Year's to Thanksgiving. So it's usually not a very busy time unless you're in Florida. But I'm going to do New Year's Eve in Salt Lake City and a cabaret thing at Martini's in San Diego in January, and then something at a hotel with a bunch of those gorgeous Miss Continental girls, like Mimi Marks, who is a goddess.
I've heard of Mimi Marks.
She is one of the prettiest. I think she used to date Dennis Rodman. She's one of the Miss Continental girls. Yeah, she worked at the Baton in Chicago. She's one of the pretty, honey, the bitch is so infuriating. She looks more cunt with no makeup.
Really? Mimi Marks. A lot of Detox always talks about it. Detox has, I didn't realize how long Detox has been in the scene. Detox has all these friends like Mimi Marks, and his, obviously she used to live in Florida, so she has a lot of these like pageant beautiful trans women friends, and she's always talking about all these girls, and everyone always talks about how stunning Mimi Marks is, but I don't know, let me try to look her up on Instagram. How do you spell her name, do you know?
Mimi Marks, Marks.
And Mimi Marks, let me see. Okay, I see her here. Wow.
The thing is, she's got, it's such an, like, I mean, she can look very high fashion when she's, or sex. She looks like Ursula Andress, who was an old star, but she's very, Tippi Hedren, a little bit, who was in The Birds. But when she's got this really wholesome Midwest thing, which you just don't see that often. And she's got beautiful, beautiful smile. But
her eyes are so beautiful. She has these big green eyes.
Yeah, she's outrageous. So Detox, because she's from Florida, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe has shared a surgeon or two with
We need to have Detox on the podcast. I love Detox.
Oh, I love her.
She's just such a good person and she's funny. I love that fucking mutilated whore. I really do. Bunny, what are your plans for the Xmas? Do you, as a Quaker, I love talking about your your former life. As a Quaker, do you celebrate Christmas?
As a Quaker, I'm feeling my oats, Mama. Sorry, I apologize for that to our worldwide listeners. I'm working on the 22nd and 23rd, and then on the 26th in Connecticut, Norwalk, Connecticut. But I don't have any plans. I did try to do a Zoom call on Thanksgiving with my family, and it did not work out well.
Was it your fault? Were you fucking up technology? Probably.
No. I got on there. Mm-hmm. And they had said, oh, come, you know, we're going to do it at 4:00 and, you know, come for a few minutes or come for the whole thing through dessert. So I thought, oh, it's casual. I don't need to start at 4:00. So I went for an exercise walk. I did. Really. I went to an exercise walk to my favorite bakery. That's why I'm fat. I came back and I logged on. There were like emails saying, we're on. I was like, yeah, I know. So I logged on and I told my mother, they said, why were you late? I said, I went for an exercise walk down to the pier. And my mother said, is that the pier down by the water? I was like, generally peers are by the water.
Wow, that's shady, you know, mom.
No, she's not dumb, but she'll speak before she thinks. And
are your parents funny, little, Bunny?
My mother is very funny and silly. My father can be amusing, but he's not silly.
Okay. So do you think you get your comedy from your mom?
I mean, I think I get it from both of them. I will tell one story that I love about them, and it may be, like, so let me say they were funnier when they were younger. There was a new lady at our church, mm-hmm. and she was actually very nice. This is 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and they invited her over to dinner with a couple of couples who were my parents' best friends. And, you know, they had dinner in the dining room, not the kitchen like we ate dinner. And they had fancy place settings with little cards with the menu on it. So they set them all down and opened the menu, and it was like chicken a la Captain Crunch and green beans with Drano and all this pathetic, like made up horrible sounding stuff, just so that my parents and their friends could laugh at this strange woman, you know, that didn't know us and who was looking like, oh, chicken a la Captain Crunch. I love that they went to such lengths for such a stupid gag, but hey.
White people are so weird.
Shut up! My parents are black.
How metamorphosis of you? Your parents are black.
Yes! So anyway, then my little niece decided that she would read me for using a term that she thought was incorrect. And I just said, well, y'all said come for a few minutes or come. I said, if you don't read me next time, I might stay for longer, but this is going to be a few minutes. So enjoy. So listen, we do Zooms when we do Zoom. I do Zooms for work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see my mother and father, but this is just not the time to be traveling for me. For visits.
Okay, so I have a question. Does like your niece and like your younger members of your family, do they like see your content? Like, do they follow your Instagram or something? Do they know how much of a pig you are?
Well, they can see. they do. The son is like 25, and he's he knows about drag stuff and follows me on the internet and stuff, and was gonna come to see a show. The daughter is a little bit more precious, and she's decided to be a Catholic. There's no Catholics in her family, but she's a Roman Catholic, and she's often upset that the people in her Catholic church, including the minister, are not wearing masks. So she's having to wrestle with that. But yes, she can be a bit prudish, so she's not privy to my material.
Not Bunny having a Catholic in her family. I can't even imagine what the holidays are when y'all all get together. They say something about Jesus. Bunny's like, well, and Bunny goes into her whole rant. I kind of want to come and see.
No, I don't go into a rant because you know what they're all about. My parents are very religious, but they know that I'm not. So no one tries to force anyone's religion on.
Like Bunny coming, they're like, Uncle Bunny, do you want to come to church with us?
That would be a no. Yeah. I mean, if you want to hook me up with the priest, that's a different story.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Have you seen the new Sex and the City?
No.
Cause you were, if y'all don't know, Bunny was famously in the old Sex and the City. You were in season 5, I think, when Carrie goes to the prom and you were on the microphone with my one line.
Yes, I do.
What is that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Carrie has AIDS. No, I don't remember it. I don't remember it. I mean, Samantha has AIDS. Ladies and gentlemen, anyway, I thought it was funny that people turned on Sex and the City like they did.
I know, you're mad about it. I like the new spinoff.
Oh, you do?
I like it. I do. I think it's good. I think people want it to be the old Sex and the City where they're like doing all the same stuff. And bitch, these bitches are in their mid-50s. Like, characters change. And if you are treating them like real people, like they change and things are different. I think it's cute. I don't. It's like my, if it, is it amazing? No, but it's good. I like watching it.
Right, right. I haven't seen it, but so it's going to be a series like it used to be.
It's like a HBO. What?
It's a series. It's not a movie. It's a series like it used to be.
It's called And Just Like That. It's on HBO. And you know, because Kim Cattrall didn't come back because she was, okay, you
but,
know. She had
but here's something interesting. Now, they've been pushing this feud between them like hot and heavy. And when Twitter went wild posting images of her like, you know, cheering, toasting with a glass of wine or whatever, like, oh, I'm glad I escaped that bomb. Because according to most people, the show bombed. But now I'm seeing little articles here and there that say, oh, well, Kim hasn't ruled out a cameo. And I'm like, oh. So in other words, all this, oh, Kim and, you know, and Kim and Sarah aren't speaking, you know, I mean, that could really all caring. Be playing us so that she so that they have a ratings gold thing. When,
no,
I don't put it past it. Listen.
Yeah, it's been they've had drama for years, girl. It's not just like a one time thing. Like Kim Cattrall, okay, like has gone on the record saying that she, basically Sarah Jessica Parker is a fucking cunt bitch whore.
Okay, but besides that, we there's people who we think in our industry are cunt bitch whores.
Maddie Morphison.
But if if there's one thing he's not, it's cunt. ball headed bitch. There are girls who we don't like, and who we have feuds with Freudian slip. But if the money was cool, we sure would be up there working with them.
Oh, absolutely. You damn right.
So that doesn't mean that Kim, all I'm saying is that the media can create a feud or add fuel to a feud in order to make it look like the fuel has been resolved if Kim comes on there. You know what? I never watched the first thing because, honey, I go to the New York City parties that other people like to see on TV. Okay, that's just it, darling. And Manolo don't make no shoes in my size, okay, honey? So
yeah, a size Shrek. No,
oh, and what petite size did you wear?
I'm a size 9 in women.
No, mama, not your hand, not your wrist. I'm not saying she's got big hands, but she needs a whole bottle of hand sanitizer to get those.
Well, I think we have done it. This episode is a little shorter, but you know, it's the end of the year. And Bunny and I are going to take this time to reflect on family, on love, on sex, on life. And we encourage you all to do
this. Don't you forget food. Food. We have to be more inclusive.
I've had some great food this year. I honestly have. Food is great. I fucking love food.
Wait. Don't forget murder.
Murder.
We cannot forget murder. We have to be inclusive.
Oh my God. But yeah, inclusive until it's inconvenient, though.
You're insane.
You be blessed, and I will talk to you soon.
Happy, whatever we're supposed to say.
A podcast network.